You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Barbara Bogavin for Lizzie O'Leary. You know, I wonder what it will be like when we're all wearing Google Glass or some kind of virtual reality headgear, and all we see are each other's perfectly enhanced avatars in real life. Well, my next guest, he doesn't have an answer to that, but he does have answers to some similar questions. He is Marketplace producer Tommy Andres, and not too long ago, he started a segment on Kai's show called I've Always Wondered. It is just really fun radio, and it's so nice to have you on our weekend show, Tommy.
Thanks for having me, Barbara.
Okay, so what's the concept?
You know, there's these questions out there that still exist. We all have smartphones, everyone can Google, but there are questions that you still can't find on Google. They're usually these little nagging questions that bug you the most. And we decided to tackle some of those for our listeners. We've been doing this about 8 months or so we've been getting some pretty great questions. And I want to ask you a question that may sound a little personal, but what shape is your butter, Barbara?
Is that a euphemism?
It is not. I'm actually asking you because we got this question from a listener.
This is Bonnie Robinson Beck from Larchmont, New York. And I've always wondered why butter cubes are long and thin in the east and short and squat in the west. Where did the two sizes meet and why did this come about?
I never even noticed that.
Yeah, this is really weird. I didn't even know about this until Bonnie's question. I mean, it's something that never really crossed my mind. But it's true. Every butter stick you pick up in Los Angeles and Southern California, she's up in San Francisco, that's true. There are these short, squatty ones. What I've learned from this series is that there is literally an expert for everything. The University of California, Davis actually used to have a dairy research and information center. And I say used to have because it was basically one guy and now he's retired. His name is John Brune and I called him up.
In the early 1960s, the West was deficit in terms of milk production to make all these dairy byproducts like cheeses and butter in particular. All our milk went to the fluid needs, whole milk, low-fat milks, and non-fat milks, for example.
So he's saying our milk as a Californian, of course. And basically, there was enough milk to drink, but that was about it. But that changed quickly. In fact, California was on its way to becoming the number one dairy-producing state.
Up until that time, we relied on the rest of the country to supply us our butter. But we were able to become self-sufficient in butter production eventually, as did other parts of the West.
So that started in like the 1960s. And because the butter industry started so much earlier in the East than it did in the West...
The size of the cube you see in the West is the result of probably newer equipment purchased at the time to package the butter, whereas those in the Midwest and other parts of the country where butter was being produced and had been produced for a very long time were using what they started out with.
So they have newer equipment in the West because the butter industry started so much later there. So I learned not just about that, but about packaging butter. Like, why is it in sticks in the first place, right?
You are unstoppable.
You got to wonder these little things, right?
the rabbit hole you have found.
That's right. These are the rabbit holes. And are you ready for the long and skinny on this?
I think so. Yeah,
okay.
Hit me.
So the reason so many things in the grocery store come in a sealed bag inside of a cardboard carton, you know, like cookies and crackers and all that stuff. This one guy named Frank Peters created this design for a brand of crackers called Unitas back in 1889, and it was revolutionary. It kept the crackers fresh. It stopped them from breaking. Like everyone else, the butter industry thought the idea was great. You know, they're looking at these packages and going, hey, this might work for us too. Plus, customers could now tell how much they were getting because it's like, oh, here's an exact amount, right? It's not just like this ball of butter and cloth that supposedly is a pound. So butter was sold in pounds. So they designed a box that basically was a one-pound box, a square, and they put the butter in.
Well, that all sounds great. I don't know where the sticks can come in, though.
That's right. We haven't gotten to the sticks yet, so I'm glad you asked that. Let's keep going down that spiral, Barbara. So a guy who owned a restaurant in New Orleans wrote a letter to a butter supplier named Swift & Company in Hutchinson, Kansas, and he asked if he could get his one-pound block of butter that now came in this box in quarter-pound sticks. Now, he was a big buyer. A big guy. So the idea actually caught on. The company was like, hey, this is actually a pretty good idea. So they started making it and it spread.
Huh. So it was pretty much the law of the marketplace.
Pretty much the law of the marketplace. That's right. These two guys were very influential in the butter we use today.
I think it's great. I think it's great. And I really enjoy the segment, and it's loads of fun talking to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Barbara.
Tommy Andres, he's a Marketplace producer. He produces the I've Always Wondered segment on that show. And you can log on to marketplace.org and click on this little vintage brain graphic in the middle of the page that says, I've Always Wondered, if you'd like to ask a question.